If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want you to go to a verse and take a look at it, because this verse, this particular verse, because of the text, I really wanted to know what this verse was saying. And that's verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go there and look at that verse. Dear Heavenly Father, help me. Help me to express in words what I have heard and what I've seen. For you have given me that place that gives a discerning mind. And only you can do that, Father. So help me put things into the right words, the right perspective today, that your people will get the understanding of it. In verse 16, you know, most of the things that I go to God to seek Him over is questions that people ask me. And this is one of the verses that the Rhema pastors asked me when I was there, and be quite frank with you, I didn't really know how to answer them. But they asked me, is that an event or is it a process? And what they were asking me was, did we receive it at one time or was it a process? And I really didn't know how to answer them, so I thought the best way to answer them, to keep from saving my face, was it's both. And I didn't realize I was given it by the Spirit. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? Who is so sharp that they could join themselves with the Lord and give Him information? But we have the mind of Christ. I used to think that was referring to the Holy Spirit. But it didn't fit in the text. So when things don't fit into the text, you know, then it has to be revealed to you. It's a mystery. And I know that I have to pray this mystery up. And boy, I'll tell you what. Last night I got a full revelation of it. The mind that He's talking about here, the mind of Christ, is talking about spiritual identity that you receive when you get born again. It's when your inner man is separated from your outer man by the knife of God's Word. And so you have to know how they're separated through Scripture. Boy, how you have to know that. Because the Scriptures of God's Word is the knife that separates you. And so I have received the mind of Christ because the veil has been lifted over my heart. The problem is not only my heart, but your heart as well. Now, I'm not saying this to throw a net over you and or anything like that, but I'm saying this in respect of you. In this place I was, the Lord showed me through natural things. And I didn't understand it at first. But He said 50% of your people do not have the revelation that I'm sharing with you. They think they have it, but they don't. And I said, well, Lord, then should I share it? And He says, share it on the level that they would understand. And I said, okay, so here goes. I'm going to do my best. When I was first saved, and I shared this Wednesday night, most of the understanding that I had was to remain in the faith. You know, I'd only been maybe just saved. And so Sue and I, we were in the concept of salvation or understanding what it meant to be saved. But nobody really capitalized on growth or growing up in the Lord. They capitalized more on reaching people for salvation. And so I never saw this concept of having to grow up in the Lord. I knew it was there, but I didn't really personally take it to my understanding of how important that was. But over the years, I began to realize, because of seeing things happen to the church and happen to God's people, I began to realize that salvation and maturing are co-equal. You can't bring somebody into the kingdom of God and then abort them to being a child forever. Paul ran into that with the Hebrews that were converted to Christianity and wanting to go back to Judaism. And one of the things he said is, some of you have been in church for years and you need to be teaching somebody else, and yet you have need of milk again. He says, but strong meat belongs to those who have trained their senses. Their physical man got control of it. And so they're capable of eating strong meat. You know, I never realized it when I first listening to spiritual insight or truth. I never realized until I began to question, a lot of it went right over my head. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I call Dave Roberson to talk to him about anything, he would tell me things that I could not grasp what he was saying. That frustrated me. It really frustrated me. But I agreed with him. Oh, wow, that's powerful. Wow, don't even understand what you're saying. That's powerful. And so I was frustrated about that. But you know, over the process of time, you grow up spiritually. And now I can have a conversation with him, and it's not one-sided. I understand what he's saying. But there was a time I didn't. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to go real fast through something that has always intrigued me, and that's been the Christian mind. And what the Bible has had to say about a lot of things in Scripture. I wish I had time. The experience I had last night, out of all the questions that I ever had, God put me on the other side of those Scriptures. I saw them from that realm, not this realm. And that's why it was so impacting. But what are the signs showing me that I'm being changed into the right thinking? I asked myself that quite a while ago. I hadn't realized what I was asking. But I'm going to share with you real quick, like, some of the things that you and I can take a look at in our life to see if they parallel with what we are as a believer doing while we're going to church. What are the signs that is showing me that I'm being changed into the right thinking if I'm a believer and I'm going to church? All of us in this building know what I'm talking about, being churched. Am I gaining victory over my flesh? Do I view my flesh as a potential to be an enemy of God's kingdom in me? You want me to say that again? Am I gaining victory over my flesh? Do I view my flesh as a potential to be an enemy of God's kingdom in me? Or is it only the devil that's my problem? Remember that Wednesday night service? We put the boxes up here and we had a marking service, mark the rebellious person in our life and everything, and that he was saved at the same time as going to the same church and everything, and had you guys come up and look in the boxes, and you would shock, because in the boxes was a mirror and it said, your flesh. It's a real eye opener to a lot of them, but there was a heaviness on the service. I mean, everybody's, oh, I don't even know if I want to know who he's talking about. They didn't know I was talking about the flesh. I quit making appeals through excuses to serve God. This is where faithfulness begins to live in me. My fellowship with people in the church takes a major turn to victory. My desire is to please the Lord by taking an interest for the sake of others. So I'm telling you, what are the signs showing me that I'm being changed into the right thinking? I begin to do things without murmuring and disputing. I begin to submit to the authority of the Word of God over my own desires. The right fear begins to work in my conscience, and the wrong fear begins to loosen its grip on me. My love for disobedient people, believers and unbelievers, increases. A self-sacrifice becomes more evident when I see that. Listen, that is a major sign your thinking is changing in the right direction. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. That's a mind being changed. Most of us want to cough up some kind of church jargon to stand against certain people. But I don't tell you what. You know your mind's being changed when you can't find anybody to really be against. You lose the position of being easily offended. Your tolerance for others increases. You're concerned about your witness to others for the sake of their conscience, of His name you represent. Believers or unbelievers. You respond to an inward conviction of error. You train yourself not to neglect the godly conscience of your spirit. And every one of us have done that. God asked us to do something, we didn't do it. How many of you in here want to give a testimony that you might even be doing that now? Can I see a hand? I'll put both up to indict me twice. Every one of you should have put your hand up. Money no longer controls the decision of their life and your spiritual growth. Their spirituality has more value. They respect church authority and receive their anointing. They have an understanding and involvement in the body of Christ as an active member. You know your mind's being changed. You will see the power of God in their life. Now these are the things that the Lord showed me that gives me heads up whether my mind's being changed or not. And I don't like it. When God began to show me these things, I got to thinking, oh my Lord, how come I ever get in your presence, you just don't say how much you love me? And forget all this other stuff. He says, everything I share with you is because I love you. Now, this question was asked me. What kind of mind, you can write this down, what kind of mind does the Lord have? What kind of mind does the Lord expect me to have? In order to accomplish all that, what kind of mind does the Lord expect me to have to accomplish all that? How many of you know that's a whole lot? Somebody asked me that once, and I didn't know how to answer them. I said, well, just follow Jesus. But I got to thinking about what they asked me, and I got to thinking, yeah, what kind of mind does the Lord expect us to have for renewal, for transformation. I don't know how long I held on to that until I heard a message on television by a minister. I think his name was David Jeremiah. I liked listening to him. And he sparked something in me. And my experience last night began to adjust some of the verses in what I'm about to share with you that helped me. What kind of mind does the Lord expect us to have for transformation? Well, number one, He expects us to have the power of a devoted mind. He expects us to have the power of a devoted mind. In Matthew chapter 22, let's go there and let's read verse 37. Matthew 22, 37. I won't have you turn to all the scriptures. I'll quote some of them. But this is a good basis to start with. Matthew 22, look at verse 37. Well, first of all, let's go to 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what he is saying, a devoted mind. Colossians 1:18 says, That in all things he may have the preeminence. The word preeminence means to hold the first place. To hold the first place. I love David. He was a man after God's own heart. In Psalms 119:11, it says, Your words have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That I might not sin against you. The word heart here means, according to the Hebrew, inner being. The mind, the inner person. It describes a place where the thinking process occurs. He's talking about the entire inner person that God can touch. That I might not sin against thee. And so, number one, a devoted mind. Number two, a dedicated mind. God wants you dedicated in your thinking. Isaiah 26:3 says, He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, a lot of people don't have control of their mind. They don't have control of their thinking. And it takes time to do that. And I'm finding myself doing it more and more all the time. But he says he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is steadfast on him. David also said in Psalm 63:6, I meditate on you in the night watches. Before I close my eyes, I meditate the word of God. Psalms 63 verse 8, just a few verses down from that, David said, My soul follows close behind you. And of course, David had more of a revelation of the death of Jesus on the cross than any other living being, other than the ones that were there. Point number three, he requires us to have the power of a disciplined mind. Philippians 4:8 says, Whatever things are true, just, honorable, pure, lovely, gracious, think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise in them, think on those things. Another one, 2 Corinthians 10:5, says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ, who thought it not robbing God of anything, when you're counted on an equality with Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Point number four. When you have the power of a determined mind. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Praise God. A determined mind. Romans 8:5 says that we are to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. We're to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. David in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, he went to God and he says, I'm going to give you a little secret how I succeeded with Him. I said, God, search my heart. See if there's any evil in me, any darkness, and reveal it to me so that I will go in the way of everlasting life. I thought it was really great when He said everlasting life, because people, when our mind gets changed, transformed into His thinking, you know what kind of mind you're setting up? You're setting up a mind that is going to live forever. And if you are being told what to do by your natural mind, the corruptible one, you're looking at being conditioned by a mind that is going to disappear when you leave your body. And that's what I experienced last night. There was no veil on my thinking when He was showing me these scriptures. Here's another one. You need the power. Very important one. You need the power of a discerning mind. See, a lot of people don't know what that means, discerning mind. Well, turn over to John chapter 9 real quick like. John chapter 9. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But John chapter 9. One of my favorite passages. And let's go to verse 39. John 9:39. Some said, this is He. Others said, He is like Him. Oh, excuse me. And Jesus said, John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these words, and He said to him, you know, you can tell when you're fingered, when you hear the word. You can tell it. You want to know why? Because you're not doing it. You feel that little prick on the inside of you. This is good stuff, Maynard. Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you were blind, isn't that weird? If you were blind, you would have no sin. What in the world is He saying there? If you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. See, they didn't have the power of a discerning mind. Matter of fact, many times in the Synoptic Gospels, I hear it all the time. Mark chapter 4, verse 12, Matthew 13, 14, Luke 8, 10, John 12, 40, Romans 11, 8, Acts 28, verse 6. That's enough to let you know that it's said there. That seeing, they may see, and hearing they may hear, and thus be converted, and their sins be forgiven them one place, and they would be healed. You see, a lot of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Scribes couldn't get anything out of God because they didn't want a discerning mind. They didn't want humility to clothe them so they could hear and see. And so they said, we see. Therefore, they're blind. You know, a lot of Christians are that way. Oh, I got that. I got that revelation. And you look at them and you see the fruit on their tree. And it's not there. Why? Because they're self-deceived. And we can be self-deceived. There's self-deception in every one of us, including me. Thank God, God will work it out of me. Amen. Here's another one for a discerning mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go there. And let's go to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, and it should be a small s there. He's not referring to the Holy Spirit. Because if he was referring to the Holy Spirit, then he would think that we're real dense. Mine's a small s in my translator. But the Spirit, and that should be a small s, who is from God, who is not there. But the Spirit from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but what the Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, or comparing spiritual things with spiritual languages, is what some translations come out with. Very powerful. And so that's how I knew that we had the mind of Christ, because of Romans chapter 7, verse 4. That we had died physically. We've been declared dead on the cross. So then our inner man could be separated from him so we could bear fruit unto God. And so we see here, goes on to say, but the natural man does not receive the things of God, or the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because, now watch this, they are spiritually discerned. There are some things you have to have revealed to you. You don't have the smarts to get the revelation of it. And neither do I. And then the last one, you have to have the priority. This is the most important one. You have to have the priority of a developing mind. This is where our thinking has to change. And Paul gives us in complete detail from chapter 12 on through to 14:7. Goes and gives us a complete detailed target that our mind should be changing. And did you know that when I was reading all those verses between 12 and 14, that all of them had to do with fellowship. Nothing to do with relationship. God took care of our relationship. How? When I got born again and you got born again, guess what? Our relationship is taken care of. You want to know why? Thank God it was up to God for our relationship. Because our fellowship can really stink sometimes. So if it was up to God concerning our relationship, and some Christians do that, they'll judge other believers. Where they make mistakes, they'll judge them. And we're not to do that. We're not to judge other believers. We're to pray for them. Are you following me? And so there's where we have to get on our own case. To do what God asks us to do. And that is to start changing the way we think. And it always starts with people. You know what? I wouldn't have a problem at all with me and God in the closet. Wouldn't have a problem at all with me and God in the closet. Because if I've got an issue with God, you know, and God's got an issue with me, I can handle that. But when God uses somebody else to come to what? To correct me? Now we got to fight. But thank God that we have the mind of Christ. None of us are without an excuse today. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Hey, we have the mind of Christ. Hey, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Problem is, we also have the mind of flesh. Boy, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the word thinketh in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word seir. It means gatekeeper. You and I are our own gatekeeper. Who are we going to allow in and what are we going to allow out? Some of us are so professional in our thinking that we always, what? Take in the wrong thinking and push the right thinking out. Thank God in Proverbs chapter 4 when he said we're to keep the word of God in the midst of our heart. In the midst of the heart. In the Hebrew that word midst means to sever. To divide. To separate. Wrong thinking from right thinking. Midst is kind of a, throws you off, but that's what our translators put there because it means in the center of something. But what he was talking about is that we are to sever in our heart what is right thinking versus wrong thinking. Because out of our heart flow all the issues of raw flesh. So, real quick like, you have to have the power of a devoted mind. You have to have the power of a dedicated mind. You have to have the power of a disciplined mind. You have to have the power of a determined mind. And you have to have the power of a discerning mind. And you have to have the priority of a developing mind. That is the mind the scriptures clearly tell us we are to have. You don't kick back on God. Jerry Savelle said he wanted a vacation from God. When I heard his teaching on that, I laughed so hard, I didn't know when I was going to quit. Because everywhere he went, he got into his Corvette, wanted to get away from his wife, wanted to get away from church, wanted to get away from ministry. He wanted to go and rest and get away from God. A lot of us do that without saying it. And so what's he do? Everywhere he goes, he sees God. Couldn't get away from it. Thank God I'm not going to be churched. I'm not going to do God a favor and show up at church. I'm going to do God a favor and live with Him. How about you? Well, did I step on your toes? Nope. I stepped on mine. Stand up, everybody. Just because I deliver you the message? Oh, wait, that's what we want them to believe. That the ministers are perfect. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful presence, your wonderful spirit. Father, I thank you that you have shown me very clearly there is going to be a move of you. A wonderful move of God. Probably won't see revival, but we will see a move of God before we go home to be with you. And so, Father, I want to be a part of that move. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage everyone here to have that same desire. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody asked me, will we see a great revival before the Lord returns? No, we will not. I'm bold enough to say that. Of course, it's my interpretation of revival means believers coming back to life. But we will see a move of God. Amen. That is the presence of God coming into our life. You can expect that. There will be a great revival once the church is removed that the world has never seen. And it's because of our testimony to those who believe not or haven't received. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is revival taking place overseas in some war-torn countries. Our most popular people who plug into us on the internet is China. Isn't that sad? Well, they're in underground churches and things like that. They're not open. They're not, you know, wealthy and rich with the freedom of the transforming and the worship and everything like we have. We're just overindulged, you know. So we've lost interest. But I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of people losing interest, I believe there's going to be a move of God again. I believe that there's going to be those that will rise up to bring the presence of God strongly back into our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. I think that's where we should be focusing. Now, in closing, before we close, do you have those scarves and things you want to pray with? Hallelujah. Let's all pray over these scarves. She's used them a lot, and they just really hit. Okay. Okay. Let's do it. You guys join with me. You're anointing with me. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we lift these prayer cloths up, and Father, use them mightily in the name of Jesus. May nothing restrict the healing power that belongs to humanity. We represent these prayer cloths as an giving glory back to a God that loves them. Show your love and give glory back to God through these scarves in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. I asked the Lord one time, why does he work so well for her? She says she believes in him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the service this morning. And Father, as we now close the service, if there be anybody here that has never received you as their Savior, Father, that their mind is not free. Even if they have a lot of money, Father, and their minds are not free, what good is it? Father, if their mind is not free, they're not free. I don't care what country, nation, state they live in. If their mind is not free, they're not free. And so, Father, today, if they've never received you as their Lord and Savior, and their minds are not free, then cause them to come forward for prayer. Father, if there are believers here who have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that spiritual language that our Heavenly Father has given them at the day of Pentecost, Father, may they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Father, today, if there's any believers that want prayer over their physical mind, their thinking, we want to pray for them. Father, that is part of Isaiah 53, is the healing of the minds of people that have been hurt and damaged by the twisting and perverting of lying lips and the poisonous tongues. If their mind has been wounded, Father, may they be freed today as we pray for healing over their mind in Jesus' name. For with your stripes, we are healed. So having said that, right now, with every head bowed, believers praying right now, if you're here today and you fit one of those areas, please step out right now and come forward. Anybody. This is the part of service that is very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a young person and you've been dealing with oppression and depression, please come forward for healing. Hallelujah. Please. Please. You hear all the time about young people and how they're taking their lives. And they might have been young people that have been in a church service. Hallelujah. And had that opportunity for prayer and nobody prayed for them. You know, your mind can get just as sick as your body. You need prayer over that. Anybody else, feel free to come up here. If you're struggling with a spirit of envy or strife, whatever it is, feel free to come up for prayer. Hallelujah. If you're dealing with a mind that has fear, remember, perfect love will cast it out. Perfect love removes fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else want prayer? Feel free to come up. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, our destiny has been placed in our hands through Jesus, the redemptive work of Christ. Amen. What an honor to have received that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? If you have a mind that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, you can have prayer for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think out of all the teaching I've done on the mind, it's been the most popular. Because time and time again, people have come up and said, because of the Wednesday night teaching, they see things so differently. You know, what makes me free will make you free. It'll make you free. You just have to know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just have to know it. Some of you have let George Washington put more fear in you than the devil himself. If you need prayer, your mind needs to be freed up because of money. Boy, there ain't no worse pressure in the world than to have no money. For your loved ones, for your family, you need to be up here for prayer. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Is most of you up here for the mind? Pretty much? Okay. Well, if that's the case, then what we're going to do is we're going to release the congregation and take a little time praying with you guys. Is that all right? Okay, those of you that want to stay and pray with us, feel free to do that. But praise God. Praise God. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that have come today. Father, may they have a blessed afternoon, and we look forward to them in praise and worship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.